It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, Governor Corbett is touring the state to sign and talk about the $2.3 billion transportation funding bill that includes money for roads, bridges, and mass transit. When he arrives in Pittsburgh this afternoon, the symbolism won't be lost on anyone, as the governor will be under the Liberty Bridge, one of the most heavily traveled and structurally deficient bridges in the Pittsburgh area. Here's what the governor had to say earlier today when he signed the legislation in Center County.
Pennsylvania is a state that puts progress ahead of party. Because we put our faith in each other, we can now put shovels in the ground and rebuild our transportation system.
So why, after months of disagreements, was a transportation deal finally reached? What exactly does it cover, and how is it being paid for? I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson. Good day, Mary.
Hi, nice to be here.
Governor Corbett and others have been pushing for passage of a transportation bill for well over a year, and for a while it didn't even look like it was going to happen before the end of 2013. Now it has. Why all of a sudden do we have a deal?
I think it was. I think the House Speaker stands to take a lot of the credit for this, for deciding to take another run at another round of compromises to kind of ease the bill through. As you and your listeners probably know, we've been talking about this for a long time. Certainly, the whole idea of raising of fees. The raising of fees, the raising of removal of a cap on gas tax to make possibly gas cost more. All those things were very unpalatable to especially House Republicans, many of whom ran on a platform of no tax increases, smaller government. Their point was that, you know, we should be able to address the critical needs of infrastructure without generating $2.5 billion on the backs of motorists and businesses. That point, they were able to come off of that ledge a little bit because the speaker introduced something that many of those same House Republicans also wanted, which is a rollback of a prevailing wage requirement. A rule that said that certain smaller local transportation projects had to pay certain set wages that often aligned with union contracts. When that was rolled back, that brought a lot of Republicans on board. So it was basically another run at a compromise to a bill that many in theory opposed, but in practice, because there was a compromise involved, could get on board with.
Right. And the compromises that were made by both Republicans and Democrats will be in different ways taken to task for, and we'll get into some of the political price that's being paid here. But right now, I think a lot of people are interested in the price of this transportation deal. There are increased fees that are embedded all through this bill. What can you tell us about what's in there?
Somebody made the point that the fees that most motorists will see aren't increasing by that much. So driver's license and passenger car registrations, those will be tied to inflation from here on, I think after 2015. So those people won't see a huge jack in those prices right away. but other things like fines for disobeying a traffic control device, those are going from $25 to $150. It used to be that if you were driving without car insurance and you were caught with that, you would get a suspension of your vehicle registration for a short time. Now, instead of a suspension, you get a $500 fine under this legislation. Car titles are also kind of a more moderate increase. About $23 goes up to $50. Driver's license renewal goes from $5 to $19. But there are surcharges on violations that go up by a bit more. So an example of that is a surcharge for, say, passing a school bus when it's making a stop, passing, around a school bus after its little, that little stop sign goes out. If you do that and you're caught, the surcharge on that ticket you might get would go from $50 to $75.
Now, what are we going to get in return for some of these increased fees? The money will go to pay for what exactly in terms of improvements?
PennDOT is saying that it's going to go in part to roads, to bridges. A big chunk goes to mass transit, especially SEPTA in Philly, going to multimodal transportation projects. So think about like trains on or trucks on train tracks, basically, is how that's been explained to me. Ports, whether it's water or air. These are the kind of projects that have been, you know, if you talk to PennDOT, they'll say there's been a disinvestment into those kinds of projects because the capital hasn't, the money hasn't been there, the funding just hasn't been there. And now some of those things, can be put back on the front burner. For years, as I understand it, the design work had been done to bring roads and bridges, to maintain them and to fix them if they're deficient in any way. But those projects have been put on the back burner. Now with this funding, they can start up again. The other thing we know is that, you know, late in the summer, you might remember PennDOT said, we're going to put restrictions on the bridges because we don't expect to have money anytime soon to help maintain them or to fix the ones that are structurally deficient. So now what that means is that if you've got a truck over a certain weight, you're not allowed to go over this bridge. And how that shook out was, certain like businesses that were making deliveries had to take longer routes to get to their destination. It caused, you know, fuel cost increases to a lot of businesses. Farmers were complaining about it. Some of those restrictions are going to be rescinded. Not all of them, but some of them, and we're working on trying to get numbers to exactly, you know, what bridges now will be passable by more of those heavier vehicles.
And we know that there are some bridges that are in trouble. And I mentioned earlier that Governor Corbett will be, as he stops around the state to talk about this bill, which is seen as a triumph for his administration, he'll be standing under the Liberty Bridge, which, you know, not anybody would have the courage to stand under that bridge because it is one of those that has been identified as structurally deficient. That having been said, though, the money will be there to repair some of these bridges, correct?
Right, right. And we've got PennDOT Deputy Secretary on record saying it's between $2.3 and $2.4 billion, really. That'll be more than enough funding.
And as far as Port Authority of Allegheny County, you mentioned SEPTA in Philadelphia, but will Pittsburgh be, is to the extent that you've been able to parse through all of this, will Pittsburgh be getting its fair share for mass transit?
I don't have an exact figure for you, but I believe it's over $480 some million that mass transit in general is getting, and people expect big portions of that to go to the big anchor cities in the state, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, with their huge mass transit systems. Another portion of that funding is going to go to people with more to local governments with regional transit, you know, bus routes. And smaller mass transit systems. But I don't have a figure for Pittsburgh, no.
And we're talking with our Capitol correspondent, Mary Wilson, from Harrisburg. As we mentioned earlier, not everybody happy with this bill, with the increased fees and taxes. What kind of explaining will some lawmakers have to do to conservative groups that keep close watch over tax votes in the legislature?
Yeah, I think two things come to mind right away. Number one, the big thing that House Republicans, a big fight for this happened in the House. The Senate passed a transportation funding measure back before the big budget debate. So I think it was in May. So the big debate here happening in the House, that's where a lot of arms had to be twisted. People had to be persuaded. And House Republicans came out of caucus meetings last week saying, you know, the increases to gas prices, those aren't going to be felt right away. And we have no way of there are projections that prices will increase for motorists, but there's no way of knowing exactly how much is going to be transferred to the pump price, the price of gas at the pump for a motorist. We don't know how costly this will be, is the bottom line. There will be a cost. I don't think anybody denies that. Nobody denies that it will be passed on to motorists, but they're not sure it'll be by a lot. They're touting something that doesn't get a lot of ink, but they did lift a 12-cent tax on the price of gas at the pump. That's going to be gone. So they figure that between that and the removal of a cap on the price of gas at the wholesale level, that it will be either a wash or it will minimize the impact on motorists. The other thing that House Republicans are saying, who initially were not happy with this initiative, is that, look, they got prevailing wage reform. They got, you know, it'll be easier for local governments to fund smaller transportation projects in their area because there aren't, they are able effectively to pay lower wages to labor. And that's something that House Republicans have been asking for the past 2 or 3 years, certainly.
And the Republicans are happy with that. But the Democrats, they chafed at the idea of changing that state law to allow smaller public works projects to pay lower wages to labor. So now what are these Democrats going to have to do in the face of criticism from some of their constituents, some of the people who depended on those higher wages, who now are going to have to accept less to do the smaller public works projects?
I am not sure that we're going to see that much blowback against Democrats. Democrats were not in the driver's seat for this debate. It was, the fight was in the Senate, the fight was in the House, where the Republicans have the majority. And they needed Democratic votes to get the bill to a certain point, but the Democrats did not carry all the water here. Certainly you had high-profile Democrats saying, I withhold my vote because I do not agree with the wage changes in the law. But I can't imagine that you'll see, I'm not sure, but I can't imagine that you'll see unions withholding support for Democrats because they lost the fight on this part of prevailing wage. And I think some would say, you know, the reform made to prevailing wage law in this bill is modest compared to what was talked about at the beginning of this debate. It could have been more drastic than it is in the legislation we see now that the governor has signed.
And speaking of the governor, last but not least, how big of a triumph is this for Governor Corbett?
This is huge. This is a pretty big win after a really dismal performance in late June and July, when he got a budget on time, but none of his other legislative priorities. He changed up his top level staff. He's got very experienced people working in his kitchen cabinet now. And this is a big deal. And we saw the governor lobbying very, very hard on this. Last week, I don't know, it's been a long week, so I'm not sure how many people remember it, but, you know, this measure failed its first go-round in the House on Monday. And on Tuesday, the governor's staff and the House Speaker and several high-level Republicans were back at it again. The governor refused to take no for an answer. And some House Republicans were upset at that, saying, oh, we're going to have to vote on this until he gets the right answer. But this is something the governor wanted, and he worked to make it happen.
And now it is official. He signed the legislation this morning in Centre County, and he's taking a victory lap around the state. He'll be in Pittsburgh this afternoon. Capitol correspondent Mary Wilson is, of course, in Harrisburg. Joined us by phone from there. Mary, as always, great thanks.
Thank you so much.
And a happy Thanksgiving to you.
To you, too.
As the devices we use on a regular basis become more advanced and intuitive, what is their potential use for society? That's coming up. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.